even when they prayed, they loved to pray in such a way that they would get the attention of men. They weren't all that interested in changed lives, but they wanted to receive the applause of people. So they would stand in conspicuous places. And Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 at verse 20. He said, "Except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God." Entering the kingdom, living in the kingdom, giving honor and praise to the King, that's what this great sermon is all about, the Sermon on the Mount. The principles, spiritual principles, that unlocks the reign and the rule of Christ in our lives. That's what it's all about. And it's obvious from Matthew's emphasis on the King and the kingdom that the kingdom is not something that is external and physical or material. Rather, it is internal and spiritual. Jesus said something very important about that. He said to one occasion, he said, "The kingdom of God is within you." That is, these principles must be on the inside to affect us outwardly. So, "My kingdom is not of this world," he said. So today we're going to continue our study of the Beatitudes. And today we're going to be looking at verse 6 here in Matthew chapter 5. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." We're going to talk about God's way to fulfillment today. Is your life fulfilled? If you are a Christian and you have imbibed and you are in the process, I should say, because we all have a ways to go to get these principles inside of us, in our hearts, minds. Do you find fulfillment in your life? Is there any life that is better than the Christian life? You look at it any way you want to. Look at it in terms of your past. Is there a better life than the Christian life? Because it is in Christ that our sins are forgiven. Looking at it presently, is there anything better than the Christian life? Because it brings us a sense of daily satisfaction and purpose and direction. We have an idea of where we're going. We have hope, a blessed hope. A hope that anchors our souls in difficult times like these? Is there a better life than the Christian life? Looking at it from the standpoint of those around us, is there a better life than the Christian life where we see people not as rich or poor? We see people not as black or white. We see people not as male or female, wise, unwise, educated, uneducated. We see people as souls made in the image of God for whom Jesus died. Looking to the future, is there a better life than the Christian life? Because we anticipate an eternal home in the presence of God. One of our songs this morning talked about the presence of God. We live in His presence. We die in His presence. And we shall live in His presence. So these Beatitudes are not platitudes. Because the world would never say what these Beatitudes say. The world says, "Blessed are the rich, blessed are the powerful, blessed are the handsome, blessed are the beautiful, blessed are the influential, blessed are the intelligent, the brilliant, blessed are those who are at ease, blessed are the affluent." That's primarily the message of the world, but look at these great blessings here in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So, today we're going to be looking at this one, the way to fulfillment, how to have our deepest needs met and fulfilled, how to find real satisfaction in life. I don't know of anybody that's would not like to have that satisfaction, that sense of fulfillment. But what's happening is so many are shopping in the wrong places. And therefore they've not found it. Thanks be unto God, those who are God's people are looking in the right place. Now, we have a ways to go to get all of these great principles down deep in our hearts. But you're here today. We've all been here today. We've already been blessed so powerfully this morning in our singing praise to God, in the prayers, remembering the Lord's sacrifice in the Lord's Supper. The privilege to hear a powerful message that we all need to hear. And so we've already been blessed. So what is the way to fulfillment? You know, this morning Jeremiah alluded to the fact that the marketing that goes on in our world that to appeal to us. You need this, you need that. Madison Avenue is in the business of creating wants and desires in us. Today, advertising, the whole field of advertising and marketing is a lucrative field. And there are many people working around the clock to create desires in us that we weren't even aware that we had. They can show a sparkling glass of iced tea on TV, and you'll suddenly find yourself thirsty. They have that expertise. They know what they're doing. And they do it so very well, creating desires and wants in us. And before we know it, sometimes we're buying things that we don't need with money that we don't have, even to impress people that we don't like. And that's a bad scenario, isn't it? A person can easily become addicted to these shopping networks. I've known certain individuals who did, because they make you hunger for that piece of jewelry. You've already got all kinds of jewelry, or whatever it is, and you already have that easy credit card. So it's so very easy to be taken in, isn't it? Madison Avenue makes millions creating desires for things you don't really need. But today we're going to talk about something we do need. We need it very much, this message of truth, to create a desire in us for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. No ifs, buts, or ands about it. Guaranteed by the one who preached this, Jesus Himself. It'll bring satisfaction to your soul, to your spirit, to that part of you that will remain. So, what does it mean to hunger and thirst for righteousness? So we ask the question first, what is righteousness? You know, righteousness in the New Testament is wrapped up in a person, and His name is Jesus. Look at this verse. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. It is because of Him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, I get this, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So is it quite clear here? Christ is our righteousness. And listen, if we are seeking to follow Him, then that righteousness will come into our lives when we hunger and thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to hunger and thirst for the Lord Jesus? That's the deepest need of your life and of mine, the Lord Jesus. What is the deepest yearning desire that Paul had? Now, Paul became a Christian. And some years after that, he wrote a letter to the Philippians. We've been studying that book in our 1 o'clock class. It's such a rich book about these principles being translated into life. These principles we're seeing here in this great Sermon on the Mount. What was it that Paul wanted more than anything else? Here it is, Philippians 3, verse 10. That I might know Him. Now we might say, well, didn't Paul already know Him? He had already obeyed the gospel, so he knew Him in the forgiveness of his sins. But sort of like the song that we used to sing a whole lot, more about Jesus. He wanted to know more and more of Him and the power of His resurrection. I want to give you three ways this morning for us to hunger for the Lord Jesus. Hunger and thirsting for righteousness amounts to hungering and thirsting for more and more of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, number one, we need to desire Him preeminently. What do I mean by that, preeminently? That is above all other things. He needs to be our priority. To desire Him preeminently. In this beatitude, our Lord is talking about hungering and thirsting. Now, you know what that means physically. Even though our tables are laden with good food, refrigerators are pretty full, freezers, we're so blessed. This Thanksgiving coming up, we are such a blessed people, aren't we? But every now and then we get hungry. And so we know what it means to hunger and thirst physically. Now, it is natural to get hungry physically, to get thirsty physically. There's nothing wrong with that. God built that within us. And when we are filled with food, it's not all that long until we are looking through the refrigerator, or looking for something else to eat. Because God has given us a continuing physical hunger and thirst in order that we might have continual satisfaction and fulfillment physically. But which is our preeminent need, physical or spiritual filling? Here in Matthew chapter 6, our Lord talked about food, clothing, fashion, fitness. And He said that these things that the Gentiles seek. And then He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things. It's amazing, isn't it, how God has ordered things. He says here, if I understand this verse, that if we'll seek spiritual things first, then these other things will be added to us. Now, sometimes we've got that all reversed in our thinking. But if we'll put the Lord first, then the promise here is very clear. All of these things will be added to us. Now, there's nothing wrong with food and clothing and shelter. These are basic needs. But where do they stand in the order of priorities? Second, not first. Seek first. It's amazing how many things in the Sermon on the Mount the Lord said, this comes first. This comes first. And then other things second. He's not saying those things are wrong. They're very important. But He's trying to get us here to fix our spiritual priorities. Now, one thing for sure, God will not take second place. He never has. He didn't with His Old Testament covenant people. And in the New Testament, He teaches us, put Him first, and then the blessings will come. Here's the point. If our desire is satisfaction, If our desire is fulfillment, happiness, we won't get it. Sort of a paradox here. But when you seek the Lord, then you'll get it. Then you'll be fulfilled. You'll be blessed. So these are the results, the byproduct of seeking the Lord. And really and truly, if you feel unhappy, unsatisfied, unfulfilled, those are symptoms that something is missing. Something is missing. Let me illustrate. Suppose you're feeling bad and you're weak, you have pain, you're trembling. With all those symptoms, you go to your doctor. Your doctor examines you and then he says to you, "Well, I'm going to give you something to sedate the pain." So he gives you a pill. And you take the pill and you feel better. Now, we all want to feel better when we can, don't we? But we want more. We want to find out the cause of these symptoms. Why this pain? Why this trembling? Why this weakness? We want to get to the depths of it, the bottom of it, the cause of it. And, you know, if all that a doctor does is just sedate your pain, but he doesn't try to find out the cause of that, then he hasn't helped you very much, has he? You see, a good doctor, I believe, will look for the cause. And so, the unhappiness you feel, the frustration, the lack of fulfillment, all of that is a symptom. And if you treat the symptom without treating the disease, sometimes it only adds to your frustration. And that's a principle here that we need to see. So when the Bible does not say, "Blessed are those who seek after blessedness," or "Blessed are those who seek after happiness." But look, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." So until we get to the place where we see that our deepest need is the Lord Jesus, whom Paul said is our righteousness, then we'll never have our deepest hunger met. So we need to desire Him preeminently. What we all need is more and more of the Lord Jesus. He satisfies completely. Paul could say to the Colossians, "You're complete in Him." Colossians 2 at verse 10. And Paul said this to the Ephesians, "He fills all in all." Think of the depth of that statement. He filleth all in all. You see, He is the head in order that He might have the preeminence. Colossians 1, 13. He is the Alpha and Omega, to quote the book of Revelation. He's the Alpha and the Omega. That is, if we would put it, He's the A and He's the Z, and then we could say He's all in between. I have hundreds and hundreds of books in my library. Did you know that all the information contained in those books are just simply various variations of the alphabet? The English alphabet, 26 letters. All the information, all the words in all of those books are just variations of the alphabet, the English alphabet. So let me say it, that all the wisdom of God is revealed in His Son Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. We could say Jesus is our alphabet. He's our spiritual alphabet. So we need to desire Him preeminently. Here's the second thing. We need to seek Him passionately. That is, with all of our hearts. After all, we're to love Him with all of our hearts, our minds, our strength. Now, Jesus here talks about hunger and thirst. What are the marks of a hungry person? What are some of the characteristics of a thirsty person? There are basically three. Number one, a really hungry person is on a deliberate quest for food. I mean, he has an intense hunger And he's determined to find food. That's a part of that nature God has given us of survival. You know, animals are like that too. But man is like that. It becomes a determined quest in dead earnest. He must find food. That's why in a lot of places, our servicemen could testify to this. Several times they have seen little children, war-torn countries that are hungry. And they try to find a garbage can. To go through a garbage can, just finding a little nugget here or there. Why? They're hungry. They're really hungry. And you know, not only is there a deliberate quest, there is a determined quest. There's a desperate quest. We put aside all pride if we're really hungry. Now, let me turn this just a little bit and think how that illustrates a point. People come to church and they find something to criticize. Let me tell you something. If you want to find something to criticize, you'll find it. I guarantee there'll be something to criticize. You'll find it. You don't have to look very far. If you're looking for something to criticize, you can find that anywhere. But here's a man, let's say, that sits down at a table and he says, well, the salt is damp. He says, the china is cracked. Or he finds other things, other excuses. The tablecloth is wrinkled. The parsley is on the wrong side of the plate. There's one thing for sure about that fella. He's not a hungry man. He's not a hungry man. Let me tell you, people come to church to pick, to find fault, to criticize, just put it down. They are not spiritually hungry. They've not really brought a spiritual hunger to the service. Now, it all depends on the appetite that you bring to church. One lady said to the preacher, I don't like the way you preach this morning. He asked, well, what was wrong with it? She said, well, it's your language. It's very inelegant. You talked about pants in the sermon. You should have said trousers. That's more elegant. He said, well, I'll try to remember that. He said, well, what else do you remember about the sermon? She said, well, very frankly, I don't remember anything else. So he said, then if I had not said pants, then you would have not gotten a thing out of it. Jesus said, blessed, blessed, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The hungry, the thirst are on a deliberate, determined, desperate search for food. Jesus ought to be to us as a starving man would be seeking after food. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. When you come to that place, then you'll find him. Why is it that people are not hungry? What's wrong with one who is not hungry spiritually? Well, he could be sick. He could be stuffed full of something like the stuff of this world. Proverbs 27:7 says, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. So, when we have desired him preeminently, and we've sought after him passionately, then here's the blessing. We can enjoy him perpetually. And what am I talking about? Well, I don't know how much of Christ you have, but I know this, and it might shock you to know, you have all of him that you want. All of him that you want. If you have a shallow thirst, you'll have a shallow satisfaction. If you have a shallow hunger, you'll have a shallow satisfaction. But if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for Jesus who is our righteousness, and you seek Him preeminently, and you desire Him passionately, then you will be filled. That's the promise, guaranteed by none other than Jesus Himself. Sadly, many people have thought of righteousness as a negative thing. You know, the Pharisees did. That's why Jesus could say, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of people think that if you're righteous, you can't enjoy life. You can't have a good time if you're righteous. But Jesus said just the opposite. Seek the kingdom and His righteousness first, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. See, God has arranged things in such a way that happiness and holiness are inseparably linked. Blessedness comes to the righteous, and all these things are added. They're not taken away. They are added. So let us never let the devil get us to thinking negatively about God. That He's a killjoy. That He doesn't want you to enjoy life. That He does not want you to have a good time. God is not taking away from us. When we serve Him and we hunger and thirst for righteousness, all of the good comes to us. Here's a wonderful passage. In 1 Timothy 6:17, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Did you get that? He gives us richly all things to enjoy. God wants us to be blessed. God longs to save. God longs to pardon, to forgive. God longs to bless. And sure, be sure that we get this. Now, I want to talk just a little bit here at the end about the fact that once we are filled, then God wants us to have a perpetual filling. Let me illustrate this way. Thanksgiving's coming up. If it's at your house like it is at our house, you know, we always have a good meal. We enjoy family. They all come together. They bring in food. And we all share it. And when we get up from the table, we're full. Aren't we? But you know something? You would think, oh, I'll never want another thing to eat. But about 6 or 7 o'clock that evening, what are you doing? Searching through that refrigerator. Looking for another bite. You see, God has arranged our physical appetites so that we can have perpetual enjoyment of the food that is available. God has arranged our spiritual appetites so that we can have perpetual filling. Just like this morning. We worshiped last Sunday. But we felt the need to be here again today. God knew that we would need that. That's why God is the one who said, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. God knew that we would need that filling again and again and again. And with that perpetual filling, there is perpetual enjoyment. You know, if suddenly we were not able to be at services, I think of all of our precious souls who are in nursing homes. One time they were here every time. I don't know fully how they comprehend all that they've lost. But just imagine what it would be like if you didn't have the opportunity to be here this morning, hear the good lesson, to participate in the singing of these great songs, to utter our prayers to God, to remember Him in the Lord's Supper. You see, that's perpetual filling. God allows us to have it this morning. He allows us to have some more of it tonight. And then Wednesday night. And then as you go home and you study your Bible during the week, God is filling you a little bit more so that we can have perpetual, continuing satisfaction and fulfillment in life. So, let me tell you about the spiritual appetite God wants you to have. He wants you to have satisfaction, but not just a one-time thing. It's not that way. He wants you to have a continuing appetite so you can have continuing enjoyment. You know, when Job and David and others spoke of the Word of God in terms that we can appreciate even with our physical appetites. It's like honey in the honeycomb. Often it is described as food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Today we've been to the table. Today we've enjoyed the praise of song, the lifting of our needs to heaven, the fellowship of the saints. We've had the joy of worship, the presence of the Lord Jesus, who has promised us that He would come to all of our gatherings in His name. He's here today. A continuing hunger brings continuing satisfaction. Let me give you a verse or two, and then we'll close our lesson for today. Psalm 107, verse 9. For He satisfies the longing soul. The longing soul. The soul that longs for Him and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Here's another one. 1 Peter 2 at verse 3. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Tasted. Now, isn't it interesting that here spiritually our taste is mentioned? So the idea is we are to develop a taste for the spiritual food that God has given us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So if people could really understand this, don't you think? What it really means to know Christ and what is available in Him, how could you keep them away? But the reality is they've not learned what is available in Christ Jesus. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Would you bow with me? Dear God, our Father, we're so thankful for our services today of worship. We're thankful for the effect of Your holy word upon our hearts. We pray that You will help us to develop more and more an appetite for spiritual things that will prepare us for our spiritual abode in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name.